Welcome to selfdiscoveryradio.com. With over 1,400 shows, we have the answers for you. Enjoy your listening on selfdiscoveryradio.com. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Their Story Matters. My name is Sarah Troy, your host, and my guest is Eduardo. I'm not even going to pronounce the surname. I'm going to have Eduardo do that for you. He is from Mexico. So he's a Mexican immigrant. He's millennial. He's gay. And he's a modern-day hippie. What does that mean in living in America today? Well, we're going to take the journey along with Eduardo about what is going on in America, this goddamn wall that a certain person wants to build up. I think the only wall he needs to build is around himself, not around everybody else. And let's look at what life is like there under this repression and this boiling waters that is happening right now, the poise of a revolution. How does he see life there? Where does he see it going from there? And what does it mean to him? Eduardo is a hairstylist. He's a hairstylist extraordinaire in L.A. He also loves to do art travel-based eye photography, which we will see a couple of pictures that on the posting here of what he does. He's traveled around a great deal. He supports marriage equality, and he supports the goodness in people. He ventures out, or has ventured out a year or two ago, hitchhiking across the USA, beginning in Milwaukee and finishing in San Francisco. His goal is to write a memoir narrating his journey as an illegal immigrant who advocates the voices of many communities and millions of people, not just in the USA, but around the world. So let's find out what our young millennial sees for the future. I'm on the other side of the fence, and a lot of the people making the decisions in the country right now are in the 60-plus, most certainly the 50-plus. What does this mean to the millennials, especially if you are Mexican or gay, living in America right now? We are their hope. We aren't their hope, unfortunately. We've screwed things up for them. But millennials are our hope. They're our future leaders. So what do they see that needs to happen? What are they going to do to make things happen in the future? And how can we help them? So, Eduardo, welcome to the show.
Hi, welcome. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, my dear, my pleasure. So, let's get right to it. You were an illegal Mexican. You are legal now. You're a millennial. You're gay. And the modern-day hippie I love. And, of course, somebody's out to get you there in the States right now. Let's dive right into this before we go anywhere else on the journey of have you felt threatened in any way by the climate that is happening there?
You know, Sarah, it is quite interesting. I really don't know how I feel. In a way, I feel like Hillary Clinton has an extraordinary chance to win. Nevertheless, the Democratic Party has screwed up a little bit on this election, but in a way I do fear a lot of Donald Trump, simply because, as you mentioned, I am gay and I am or was an illegal immigrant and no longer am, but he could definitely change that. And as a millennial, you know, where does my future and the future for millions of millennials that are in debt for a long time that might not have a good retirement or a retirement plan in their time when it comes or when our time comes? And also, what about buying a home? We might not even be able to afford that. And here we have a guy who is just racist, who at some point didn't really believe that we should increase the federal minimum wage, that they already pay a lot, who doesn't believe in climate change and thinks or believes it was made by the Chinese. It's all, you know, it's scary. But the thing that concerns me the most with Donald Trump is that he could easily achieve that if he were to become the president. And it will affect us for a long, long time. And simply, he will do this by choosing very conservative Supreme Court justices. And for a president, we live with a president for 4 years, but we live far longer with the Supreme Court. and they dictate how the constitution is read, you know? Mm-hmm. So there is where my concern lays the most.
And big concerns they are, as you say, you know, he comes in for 4 years, he can completely upset the apple cart, but the people he puts in place, it's much harder to get them out and, you know, and also undo the damage. You just look at how much damage he's done in a year of campaigning.
Absolutely.
You know, never mind what he would do actually if he was in the White House. And yet he pulls a lot of supporters, but when we look at it, of course, you know, the highest percentage of that is, you know, middle class white people who think that he's a demigod, which I think anybody with a little bit of intelligence doesn't see. You know, because it's I think the foundation of all life is, and I love what the Pope says, he doesn't care what religion you are, as long as your faith is based in love and kindness. And, you know, absolutely agree with that. That should be the religion. Love, kindness, and respect for one another. And and when you look at Donald Trump, there isn't an ounce of that in there. Misogynistic, narcissistic. The song, You're So Vain, was written for him.
Yes, he wants to definitely have a Trump White House sign and his front lawn. And I think he would just ultimately achieve just control of the people, more or less, and control of the state, and very liberal or liberty for the people if he were to come in power, and not just in the U.S., but the catastrophe that he could cause around the world.
Yes.
I mean, the tensions in the Middle East are just pretty high right now, and to have someone like him who sometimes just lashes with just a little bite that the social media gives him, it's just, imagine what he could do with tension with political figures.
And, you know, we really are at the era where we need to stop and listen to one another. We need to talk with one another, not at one another, and that includes other nations. And, you know, America is hated around the world, especially in the Middle Eastern world, and you can't blame them when you see, you know, more bodies lying there from drones being sent over. You cannot blame the hate. And, of course, they're going to be retaliation. But Trump plays right into the fear, and he knows how to push those buttons. And of course, it's not just Mexican; it's all Muslims. You know, it's obviously anti-Chinese. And when you think about America, it is completely in hodgepodge of immigrants. I live here in Canada; we're completely immigrant-based.
Yes, I mean that is how the United States, and as you mentioned, Canada was built. Through immigrants and giving everyone an equal opportunity. But it seems like we have sidetracked ourselves, or something bigger has come into place underneath the table and just has distracted us from what we really are and who we really are, not just as nations, but also as people.
I mean, if we take away the color, we take away the race, we take away the sex, of a person, and just look to the soul, the character, the heart, and the spirit, that's all we really should be looking at, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, ultimately, you know, we come into this world, like you said, stripped every single word and every single image and part of that individual, and take away even the body, and all you are is yourself. And you have come into this world to live an experience, a one-in-a-lifetime experience, and to be able to have conscience to do such thing, but also be able to express yourself and speak and write and have so much intelligence and have that in common with billions of people in a world where you can create so much positivity and just so much greatness. We're here to thrive. That is ultimately what we're here for, thriving.
And not thriving at the expense of others.
No, not at all. More in a clean way. In a collaborative and in a clean way, where this world or this earth will last for generations and generations to come.
I mean, if you think about it and look in the last 150 years, the amount of damage we've done to this planet.
It's incredible.
In the name of greed and opulence. And of course, you know, when you do look at the Trump regime, he is just a little speck of the greed and opulence that is out there that is destroying this planet. And
he's minimal. He is just minimal. There is much, much bigger people out there that have influence and created so much damage into this world, into this planet, that we are at the tipping point of catastrophe, of another civilization within a couple hundred years, maybe sooner, to be destroyed if we don't fix our planet. That is absolutely true.
You know, I have three millennial children, and you know what I find about millennials for the most part is the need for greed and power isn't there on the same level as it was with their forefathers, and also a more philanthropic, you know, philanthropy about it, where a lot of millennials I've interviewed are out there, like yourself, wanting to make this world a better place by raising the consciousness, by saving the planet, by also by saving ourselves. So we, you know, if we don't take care of ourselves or save ourselves, we're not going to be able to save the planet, because it all comes about finding that self-love, and in that self-love, you learn to love everything else around you. So do you feel that amongst your own peers, your own age group, that you're seeing this as kind of a movement with millennials, this desire to save and raise that vibration?
You know, I do see it. However, I have a small concern, simply because I do see immigrants, and I see millennial immigrants like myself advocating for immigration. And then I have gay peers and gay friends who are also gay, but I feel like they're advocating for the gay community. And then I also like to advocate for women rights, but I also see that women kind of do their own group. So let me take you back to the example of, you know, coming all together. And I guess this is where I differentiate myself. And as you mentioned in your introduction, I represent the voice of many groups. And I think that for us to start, you know, truly achieving our goals, which is ultimately equality in the United States and among the world, we have to come together and stop looking for each other's group only, and not only when something bad happens to a different social group, do we say like, oh, you know, I'm sorry that happened, but rather we come together and we help. And we react, and we all just come together.
Well, in a lot of ways, these groups are putting their own walls around them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you like may I be said, gay, and you may be Mexican, or you may be, you know, white, black, pink, yellow, polka dot. Stop putting a wall around you and start looking at yourself as a human being.
Yeah. So like I said, I do see that the advocacy and people are speaking out there. However, I just see it that it's a little bit more separated. And I think that ultimately we could just achieve far more, just far, far more speaking and advocating for everyone, and not just for this person or for that group in particular, but just all of it.
I mean, obviously, you know, being gay, you're more comfortable around gay people because, you know, you're like, and you feel at home there. But I imagine you feel just at home along with women and with other people, because what it should be is that you are connecting with people for who they are, not what they are.
Yeah, no, I absolutely feel, you know, safer, definitely in the gay community, but in a general basis, I feel fine with any social group, especially when I try to advocate and speak for so many social groups, you know? And for me, at least, I definitely like and try to feel comfortable and feel like people accept me for who I am and for the things that I've done or tried to do just as a person, and not for, let's say, the job I have or for the things I've achieved, but just, you know, for the positive energy.
Yes. Yeah, for your persona, your character, your presence. Now you do work in Beverly Hills as a high-end stylist, and you know that is it's another zip code altogether there. It must be kind of quite fascinating to hear or even have conversations with people that sometimes are just not relating to what's going on in the world.
You know what? At least the type of clientele that I have gotten so far, I just recently relocated from Palm Beach, Florida to here, Los Angeles. I find that more and more people are becoming conscious about what's happening, especially this election and the threat that is among us, which, you know, it's a positive sign that possibly we will be making the appropriate choice for this year election, and perhaps within that, we can start coming together, even working in Beverly Hills, like you mentioned. We can all come together and just start making a difference for this country and for the world.
I mean, really, when it comes down to it, it's who cares what your economics is? It's, you know, it's not about the dollar. It's not about your position. It's not about your color or your race or your sexuality. It is about the global energy coming together. We can't heal the world if we're unhealed ourselves.
Absolutely.
We need to come together to heal each other. We need to work together as a community and celebrate each other's differences. We don't all want meat and potatoes. You know, we like a little spice, different types of fruits and veggies. We like that diversity, because that's what makes life intriguing and exciting.
Oh, absolutely. So absolutely. I mean, you know, even people who might want to vote for Donald Trump, they might agree with some of his policies, and that's why they're voting for him. But ultimately, I think they're becoming more conscious of, like you said, culture, you know, about food. And, you know, you're going to want to eat maybe Mexican food or Indian food or from Thailand. And these are immigrants that could be affected as well if someone was to be picked for presidency.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we really, I think, have to look at it. We're part of the problem. And, I remember having a neighbor that was about 10 years older than me, and he was actually, he was a little bit older than that. So he was kind of, the 70s was his absolute peak. And he retired early, and he said, I feel so sorry for my kids and their kids, because in our opulence, in our seeking of greed and power, we've screwed up this world in such a way it's going to take them lifetimes to undo. And that is absolutely true, and it's kind of got worse because, you know, the richer have got richer, and there hasn't been that equality. I think what we're seeing right now is most certainly a destruction and a disruption going on that's needing to be had. You can't have a cleansing, you can't have a renewal if you're not willing to kind of clear out the old. And I think everything that's going on right now is pointing out to the world, this is what's going on, you can't ignore it anymore, you've got to step up and be part of the solution.
Yes, definitely. You know, ultimately we are our own problem and we are on our own solution.
Now, I'm a Bernie Sanders fan, have been all along the line, and I was praying that he would get to the end there. Because of his philosophy and because of his humanity, you know, he doesn't care who you are or what you are. You're a human being. As he said when he was asked about his faith, what's your faith? And he said, it's unity. When you hurt, I hurt. When you're in joy, I am in joy. You know, here is somebody that is an advocator and a fighter for humanity and has been his entire life. And I think he's really raised that consciousness and invited a lot of the millennials to step forth and say, your voice can be heard. Yes, there's corruption out there, but you keep your voice heard, keep the movement going. What do you think about that?
Well, you know what? I love Bernie Sanders. I absolutely just adore him. I think he is just a wise man, very intelligent, and with a great heart, and could have taken this country to a whole new level and to a 21st century political revolution. Exactly what we needed.
Yes.
Equality all across the board for everyone. It's sad that, you know, he wasn't elected. However, you know, as you mentioned, it's not about religion. It's about bringing people together and making the conscious choices and the right choices, which will affect future generations.
And, you know, the ball is a lot in your court. You know, A, we need more millennials to get out there and vote. And yes, we know that you have a poor choice right now, but it's kind of, you're having to kind of go with the lesser of the evil. And when you hear Hillary talk today, you can hear Bernie in there.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. She has grown. She has shown potential. And I think that millennials will definitely make the right choice by voting for her. I know that, you know, there will be a small percentage of people who are still Bernie bros and or Bernie bust. But I think that that group will actually decrease as we get more into election day, just because they're trying to, or they will come into terms to do the appropriate thing, not even the right thing, but the appropriate thing. Because this year, it will just, like I said earlier, define a generation to come.
Yeah. And the thing is,
And as you mentioned, millennials are a very important demographic in this election. One, Bernie Sanders has set us to make an impact for our voice to be heard, not just in this election, but made us conscious that we need to vote for future elections, that we have gotten to this much damage because our past generations and ourselves have been distracted, but we had someone here who just came out and spoke boldly about the things that we needed to change. And I think that that definitely grasped a lot of millennials, not just for this election, but for the next future elections, and not just for a two-party system, but I think it's opening the doors as well for a third-party system, which we totally need. We definitely need. We need to challenge our two mainstream political systems, because they're both not working for the millennials and for other social groups.
They've been contaminated, and it really, you know, they should be scrapped, and a whole new system should be put into place. And the people to do that will be the millennials. You know, what I'm wanting to see, and just seeing the movement that Bernie created, the people that are following, Bernie got knocked down, but, you know, he's kind of like that messiah out there. He's still there. He's still fighting.
Oh.
He's passed the baton now. So I wanted to see those millennials, you know, keep that movement going. And especially when Hillary gets in, we already are seeing Bernieism within her. If the millennials and everybody else gets behind like a microscope on her and saying, we're not going to let you get away with it. We want accountability every step of the way. And it's not just about the movement during election year. It's about keeping that movement going through every day of the year.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We have to keep that as his campaign was or initiated, to feel the burn and to continue feeling that burn along this election and future elections to come, because that is the only way that we could and we can continue promoting a progressive agenda that will create equality for everyone, but also consciousness to make the appropriate choices on every election, on who we pick and what we pick.
Now, you came to the U.S. when you were 11 as an illegal, and there's a beautiful movie with George Lopez in it about children that are illegal, but their parents are legal, and it's all to do in a school with a creation they made. It's a true story. It's a beautiful movie, and I just can't remember the name of it right now.
I think I know which one you're talking about. Yeah. It was with runners, correct?
Yes, yes. And it was just so brilliantly done, because what we are so ignorant on is that because somebody has come from poverty, because somebody doesn't have this expensive zip code, because they don't have the Ivy League money behind them, doesn't mean that there isn't that beautiful abundance and intellect and possibilities within them, and that when you water that and you give them that leeway to have creativity and explore, what can come out of it is absolutely extraordinary. And that movie really represents that, and I wish I could remember what it is. But it, you know, that is kind of really what we need to look at, isn't it? It's not about where you start, it's the opportunities that are given to where you can go.
Yes, which it takes me back to the whole thriving situation. You know, for me, I was fortunate in, or have been fortunate in many ways. You know, as you mentioned, I came to this country legally at age 11. I crossed the border. I walked the desert. I was with my uncle. And I still remember exactly everything that happened and as it happened. But I also remember everything that has happened to bring me to this moment today, which was positivity. I never stopped dreaming and I never stopped journeying. And, you know, these kids in these movies, they, and I see this or saw this as I grew up in my time in high school. There is a lot of kids, immigrants that came to this country, and I just never really saw them dreaming or trying to think for the future in a bigger way. They always just kind of like stuck where they were. And I think that that comes with the reality that you come from an immigrant family, and sometimes it's hard to dream unless you have someone that comes into your life and shakes that up a little bit and allows you to believe and to start dreaming again, that there is just so much potential out there for yourself, even if you're discriminated because you're black or an immigrant because you've come here illegally. I think that the American dream is achievable for anyone.
Yeah, 100%.
It just becomes harder. It just becomes absolutely harder when you're not in the right group, or you're not the right person.
Or you're in the right color skin, as they look at it today.
Yes.
You know, which is, you know, I mean, I'm a white person, but I'm ashamed of the, you know, of some of the white people's views, because I have half Chinese children, and you know, for me, it's all about the love, the vibration, and you know, if there's another culture there, it's wonderful. Just look at the culture that they're bringing to the story, you know. And if we look at that and look at people from where they've come from, the DNA history, what they bring to the table, it's just, again, like that beautiful spice to the meal, as opposed to, you know, everything being blah. You know, coming over with your uncle, did you have to leave your family behind?
No, my family had come into this country way before me. So I lived with some family members and my older sister in Mexico. And then when I was 11, my father and my mother, they were able to save sufficient money for me to come with my uncle.
And what about your sister? Did she ever make it over?
She stayed for another 2 years in Mexico. She wasn't ready to come. She was becoming a teenager at that time, and she was becoming, I guess, more popular in school and mm-hmm. making more friends. So, you know, when you're starting to grow up in a place where you're making friends and you feel comfortable, you don't desire to do what I was set out to do with my uncle. For me, I wanted to be with my family again.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be with my mother. And I don't know, everyone just talk about America as the greatest thing ever. And here I was given the opportunity to come to this country, nevertheless, not in the most legal way and not in the most safest way, but I did. I dream of, yeah, you know, being with my family and doing something bigger, because everyone, when you're in a different country, and they say that you're going to America, they just expect you to be something big.
Yeah,
and of course, and that you will achieve the American dream.
They don't realize too the sacrifices that a lot of immigrants have made.
You know, no.
I've been an immigrant twice over, and you're always leaving people behind. You're always having to say goodbye to people forever. You're always going to a new country. Now, in my case, English is my language, so it was much easier for you not. So not only have you been, you know, kept away from your family, your parents, now you're separated from your sister. Obviously, Spanish is your first language and English your second. You know, people don't realize, you know, there's all this thing about, oh, they're coming over to take over the jobs. No, they're coming over to the land of dreams and possibilities to have a better life for their family. And you have to look at the sacrifice that's been made in order to do that.
Yeah, and once you're here, it's not so easy to achieve that dream. It definitely is not. I mean, the law, it's really difficult, one, for Mexicans to gain any type of legal documentation once they've entered the country legally. It's much easier for some countries, but for Mexicans, unfortunately, being, you know, neighbors and not just Mexicans, but also many other immigrants from other parts of the world entered through, makes it a little bit more impossible for us. But you know, for the ones who have managed to come into this country and contribute to the American society, it's not easy. It's definitely not easy to make it to the American dream. It is possible, but it's not easy. And sometimes, like I said, therefore, like when I was in high school, many young kids, I just never saw them to have thirst or to want to thrive or to just grow. But for me, I just, like I said, coming to this country was dangerous and scary, but at the same time, it was an adventure of encouragement from everyone just saying that, you know, you go to America to achieve the American dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess that thirst just, and that desire just always stick within me to try to achieve that. And fortunately, I found someone who made it a little bit easier for me to get off the road that would have led me to perhaps being a construction worker or a guy who cuts lawn or do a blue collar job. I could easily be doing that, but you know, I met a guy who became a father and is now a father figure to me and has allowed me and has paved the road to be able to get out of that circle and also try to improve the life of my own family.
And that's what it's about, is, you know, being a mentor to someone, you know, having somebody believe in you, somebody seeing something in you that maybe you don't see in yourself, somebody who can pave that road of possibilities and that, it, you know, invites you and inspires you to walk it. And we all need that.
And that takes us back to the movie that we were just definitely talking about. And I remember the name of it now. It's called MacFarland, USA.
Oh, right. Is that the name of it? I highly recommend that people watch it because it was so inspiring and a true story, and it just shows, you know, there were kids that were in kind of a detention, written off as not being ever going to go anywhere, troublemakers, and yet they went on to achieving such heights with such innovation. And that's, again, it's like when we give somebody that permission to explore and see what can happen, that's when the miracles do happen.
Yes, absolutely, because you allow someone to just be free of who they are not, and you just let them dream and you encourage them, and encouragement is just a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. And I think this is something that we all need to do. You know, we've tried the dictation, you know, the linear road, and you must be, and you should be, and you've got to be. And we know that doesn't work. We know that the human spirit needs to fly. We know that the mind needs to be open. We know that it has to be heartfelt. And we know that we need to be connected to our soul, our divine intellect, which isn't anything to do, I know you're an atheist, it's not anything to do with religion. People don't understand that consciousness is awakening to the global energy, to the global source, and in that energy is intelligence. And when we tap into it, all that we need to know when we need to know it is right there.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, as you mentioned, I am an atheist. I ultimately don't believe in a god, or as of right now I don't, because it's not proven. I believe in science and I believe in the cosmos. And ultimately, when you trace ourselves back, or you know, where we come from the cosmos, we come from the Big Bang that created these galaxies and the universe and the planets, and therefore the planets are here, and oceans and skies and nature and evolution and creation and everything was just created to be here at this very moment. And I guess that ultimately the only way we can truly be happy is when we acknowledge that and when we start living in the now.
Yeah.
Because now it's the only time we have. As many headaches as anyone could have, the now is the only time we have. And if in the now you do not have any problems, it's just pure happiness. You know, you accept it.
Yeah, I'm a knowingness teacher. So, you know, for me it is about, you know, when you have those gut instincts and people say, well, how do you know? And you go, I don't know, I just know. That is what I call the divine intellect. And then it goes to your heart in resonance. And you understand what that is, not in the intellectual form, but just in the understanding of this divine intelligence. It then goes to your spirit into action. And then your mind being your programming and your data. This knowingness extracts from your mind what you need to know in order to make it happen in this moment, in this now. And very often we get stuck in our heads, and we have to remember the hard drive is your brain, your mind is the programming, and you've got to look at your programming and going, is it serving me, or is this old data? Do I need to delete it and reprogram? And when you look at children, and you look at how expansive their imagination is and what is possible, because they haven't been given those barriers yet, those walls. You know, what comes out of them is absolutely extraordinary. So we don't need to be building any walls whatsoever. We need to start breaking those walls down in every way.
Yes, absolutely. We have to allow each individual be their true selves and, you know, go accordingly to what they love.
Yeah, because when you do that, that's when your divine purpose comes through. Because we're all programmed DNA, we're all energy,
and,
right?
And so and then society starts to go about the right way and to making the right choices or the appropriate choices.
Because you're following the path that is what you're designed to do. And you find your meaningful purpose. And now in that meaningful purpose, your heart is singing because you've got a purpose that you love. Your spirit is flying. Your whole energy has been risen. Your resonance becomes so invitational. You become so inspirational to other people. It's wonderful space to be in.
It just ultimately becomes yourself as a coherent person.
Yeah. Exactly.
Transmitting positivity and waves of positive vibration.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You know, we all want those good vibrations, and the only way we're going to get them is by elevating our own frequency.
Exactly. Elevating is the word I was looking for. Yes.
So what is now for you? I mean, you know, you obviously the last person you want in is Trump. Which I don't think he's going to get in. I think that, you know, as they say, Pussygate at the present moment is probably, finally the step too far. Though, you know, it seems to be his followers, he could murder somebody and they'll still get behind him. And what I don't understand is that in any other political year, at least 100 things he's done would have had him out. So it's almost like reality TV has taken over.
It's definitely, you know, the whole election by now, I think everyone is ready to just go to the polls and vote. It has turned into a reality TV show. I mean, you know, like I said, I moved from Florida about 4 or 5 months ago. And in Florida, the whole time, every time I went to the gym or somewhere that had a TV, it was CNN, and all they reported was Donald Trump.
Yeah. And
I think that
publicity, you know.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, he just got this free publicity 24/7, 365 for the past, you know, few months, and it's just,
it's tiring.
It was their own creation. Yeah, it's tiring, and it was partly the fault of the network itself.
All right. Well, I mean, I call the CNN is that they'll take a pimple, and they'll make it a volcanic eruption. You know, they're all about sensational TV. They're the Jerry Springer of news. I don't know if you watch The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
No, not always,
oh,
but
please,
I've heard of it.
No, please watch it. He's, I mean, he's same age as my son. He's half South African, half German, brought up in South Africa where he was illegal because he was half white. His mother had to hide him. He's a brilliant comedian, but he's such a wonderful humanitarian. And, you know, sometimes, you know, being an older fart, you know, sometimes, you know, kind of pushes the envelope a little bit. But I get him, and his satiric politics and political views is, you know, he's so good. But there's always that undercurrent in the humor of, you know, just how ridiculous are we going and when are we going to stop? But I highly recommend, you know, watching some of his shows and even just some of his skits, actually, because I think that he is representing greatly the millennials and the way that they're viewing the way life has gone, not just politics, but life has gone. And it is an invitation for you guys to kind of go, okay, we've got to clear this up and put it on the right path.
Yes, that is absolutely true. I'm going to definitely check his show then.
Definitely, he's very, very good. But, you know, that's the thing. We need the millennials. Even the Gen X, they're up to their eyeballs in mortgages. The amount of people I've interviewed that ended up, you know, with very high-paying jobs, only to become slave to those jobs. You know, the bigger and the more expensive house, the bigger and the fancier the car. Working 80 hours a week to keep up the image, and then getting what we call the cosmic hatchet in the head, which was the redirect, only to realize that they've become such slaves to this society's expectation.
And you know, I can tell you something. I my father encouraged me after cosmetology school to get a job at a corporate hair salon. But for some reason, I just never wanted that, even though partly, you know, some corporate salons do offer you a good retirement plan and a good pay and, you know, stable clientele that sometimes you don't have to build yourself, and they help you build it for you. But then I met a friend who introduced me to that high-end salons that, you know, has brought me up to this moment. And that has allowed me to not be a slave of society, as you said. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you how. You know, I work at a high-end salon, but I appreciate and I love my time. And as a millennial, and I think many millennials can relate, we like to have our time, and then we like to travel, and we like to experience cultures. So, you know, when I've done my agreements with the hair salons, I've definitely said that I like my time off, and that when I'm at work, I love being at work. I love being an artist, doing hair. But when I want to go on vacation, I definitely want to go on vacation. And that allowed me to go on a 2-month hitchhiking trip last year. And there is no better freedom and no better happiness and payment than doing something that you want and you would want to do and you love to do and you want to experience and still, you know, be part of society, but not be a slave. You have to appreciate your job and how much it pays you. But at the same time, you have to appreciate yourself
because
and the freedom that the world gives you.
Yeah, the more you fulfill yourself, the more you explore yourself and who you are and what you're here for, the more you bring that back to your job.
I mean, I want, you know, an amazing life as well, but at the same time, my life is already pretty amazing. And, you know, it's not always about money. Money makes things easier, and sometimes it does give you some happiness, but ultimately money is not happiness, because if you have to attach yourself to a society where you're chained and destined to just work in a cubicle and have 1-2 weeks off during the year, I mean, there is no happiness there.
Well,
when you're 9-to-5.
Exactly. I mean, it's even the corporate person, you know, all these people in their ivory towers, the billionaires, they don't have any luxury, and they don't have any luxury because every single day is worrying about protecting their empire.
Yes.
Right? They don't have any peace. It's all about who they're going to screw over to protect their own. and they could crumble any time. And what we're going to be seeing in the next 10 years is a great deal of crumbling going on of establishments. And that's because the movement has already started. The Gen X and most certainly the millennials, you guys are going to take it to that next level. And it's the it's the era of accountability.
Yes. And millennials, as you said, will make a big impact. You know, they're the, at least in the US, they're the biggest population or becoming the biggest population now in the US. It's no longer the baby boomers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I'm part of the baby boomer thing. And, you know, we're all at that retirement stage or, you know, second or third career in life, but slowing down. And so it is the millennials now. And as I said, the consciousness around the millennials is different. You know, it is more, you know, giving back. It is more holding accountable. It is more give me the truth. And it is more about freedom of being and not becoming.
Yeah, freedom and questioning everything.
Yeah. Which is good. It's what we need because, you know, the last couple of generations turned a blind eye to all the corruption that's going on. And they got away with it because nobody stood up. And, you know, that standing up is happening now and it needs to continue.
Yes, absolutely. And not just here in the US, but around the world, we need to reach equality for everyone, all across the board and for every culture. And every person, it doesn't matter the skin color, it doesn't matter your sexuality, it's just about equality and protecting the planet for sure.
I mean, people say to me, if you had one wish in the world, what would it be? And of course, you know, to say peace is just too generic. I would actually say this, if everybody felt the pain they inflicted, would they keep inflicting it? So if you were inflicting pain upon somebody and you're feeling that pain as well, would you continue to do it? So
no.
I think that sometimes that's, you know, in order to have peace, we have to release the pain, which means that we have to stop giving the pain or receiving the pain. So, you know, the answers lie within us. If we want change, we've got to be the change. And we can't just speak about it. We've got to act about it. So we've got to get our own house in order, our own lives in order first, because we can't stand tall against anything else if you're still living
start within
in fear yourself.
Yes, absolutely. You have to start within and then go about.
So looking at Trump not being in, what do you see for yourself in the next 4 years? You love to do photography. Would you like to do more of that? Do you want to take that elsewhere? You know, what do you see as being part of your contribution to that, to the next era?
Oh, Sarah, that is a great question. Well, as I mentioned, I just moved to Los Angeles, California 4 months ago, and I am a hairstylist in Beverly Hills. I hope to grow with that salon, with the salon that I am in right now. And I think they will definitely pave the road for myself to be a successful and continue growing as a successful hairstylist. Within that, I would like to take my photography into a whole different level. You know, it's Los Angeles. So what better place than that to be in Los Angeles growing as a photographer? I specialize in iconography and it's all fine art. It's all based on my travels, and I've been photographing since I was 16 years old. But today I don't, you know, use a big digital camera when I travel. I use my iPhone and turn it into fine art. But with my fine art, I want to expose and show my photography as myself. But when I say myself, is what I speak for and what I advocate for. I want to be the voice of many groups and bring those many groups together, millennials, gay, modern-day hippies, dreamers, and people who advocate for immigration, people who advocate for women's rights, for the LGBTQ community, for the environment, and for also atheists. We are not alone. We, you know, sometimes are put down because we don't believe and someone who hasn't been proven, but we're not that, and we want our proper place in society as well, because we like to do and choose things and make things happen rationally and with consciousness. So I hope to be a voice for everyone with my photography in the next 4 years. I want to be a positive figure and encouragement to the general public out there.
And you know, that's really all we ask of people, is that when you step forth in your own consciousness, in your own positivity, in celebration of who you are, you become a contributing fact to what helps the planet, what helps your society. If everybody started helping their own community, and I'm not talking about, you know, gay community, this community, your community, and you get out there in unity, in collaboration, with love, with kindness, that is the religion, that is the faith. It is about caring from each and every one of us. It's about everybody coming together to enable and help one another, all to stand tall in our own lives. That is truly what religion should be about. And I understand you being an atheist in religious aspects, because religion has lost its purpose altogether. But you are a cosmic person, so you believe in the divine energy. So your faith lies there, and it's in humanity. And if you want to help humanity, you've got to step up and be a humanitarian.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, sometimes, and this is one thing I want to encourage our audience, sometimes you don't have the time or the money to help in that way, but the one thing that you have, and as long as you speak the truth and the facts, you have your voice, and that is one of the biggest advocacy you can do, and teach other people and educate other people. And I want to encourage people to speak the truth and to speak how they feel regarding the truth and what is right and what is proper to make choices.
Yeah, and it's your truth and you can own it. But you can speak it, and if you speak it in a way of inspiration, you become the invitation.
Exactly, with inspiration.
Yes, exactly, because everybody must make their own choice. But if you are inspiring in your way of delivery, then people see it from your point of view, and they can make a better choice. You know, we are no longer in this world that where we will accept people's dictation of how we should feel or how we should be. Or how we should live. You know, that is going out the door. It's if you want to have any form of quality of life, you have to take ownership of your own choices and be responsible for your own choices and your own elevation. And then you will become that inspiration for someone else. But first, be an inspiration for yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you want to continue with your photography and just getting the word out there about people just raising their vibration, bringing down the walls of that people put around them, you know, I'm gay, I'm this, I'm that, and just basically bringing this beautiful, diverse community together to see each other in all their beautiful colors.
Absolutely, exactly.
So I'm very pleased to hear this, because as I said, we're at the other end of the scale now. We've passed the baton on. We're sorry that we're handing you such a mess. But, you know, having three millennial kids, and I look at their consciousness, and it's, you know, for them, it's the outrage against the injustices in the world. My children are all 28 to 34. They've taken longer in their lives in relationships, or you know, nobody has children yet, even in their career choices, because the world was so upside down that they didn't know, you know, what they wanted to do, but they did know that they wanted to get out there and make a difference. So they took their time to find that channel. It is never too late. You are never too old. You know,
yes.
I'm 62 when I had a redirect 4.5 years ago. And I'm now living my purpose, interviewing people like you who are out there making a difference in the world. So we mustn't write people off And although I'm an advocate for millennials, I'm not saying that there isn't value in our elders. And if the millennials listen to the wisdom of the elders, then we've really got a great balance.
Of course. No, there is definitely people who have, you know, been past generations and who have influenced millennials.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, it's even if in learning, like, don't do it that way. And you need that wisdom, because there's nothing that's going to replace living experience.
Of course.
And if you tap into that consciousness and that divine universal experience, along with your own living experience and with the experiences of others that have gone before you, you really have a great toolkit now.
Yeah, of course.
Now, unfortunately, you're not on Facebook and you don't have a website, but you're with Tumblr and Instagram. So would you let people know how they can follow you on that?
Yes, they can follow me on Tumblr, as you mentioned. And my screen name is dreamerspath.tumblr.com. And my Instagram is also instagram.com/dreamerspath.
And it's a lowercase path.
Correct.
Path, right. So Dreamer's Path at Tumblr. Hopefully you'll get on Facebook, because I can promote you there, and the other ones I can't. But, you know, I'm saying to you, you know, get a site, get a WordPress, because WordPress is a wonderful way for people to follow you on the blog, and really a great tool, because we need to hear your wisdom. We need to hear your inspiration out there, and to share your stories, you know, just the experiences, the stories, your photography, because that's what invites other people. What inspires you that you capture in word or in photograph or in your art is what then invites other people to take their own journey. So please continue doing what you're doing and just expand on it, and so other people can experience it as well.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you for having me, for sure.
Wonderful. And if they want a good haircut in Beverly Hills, where do they go?
They go to Joseph Martin and they look for me. I'm Eduardo Vasquez.
Excellent. So I wish I was there. Believe me, I need a good haircut.
Well, anytime you come to Los Angeles, just message me and we'll be in touch and we'll make something happen for sure.
Yeah, there you go. With my mop on my head, yes. Something magical.
Don't worry.
Needs to happen. So I thank you so much, love, for, you know, for your bravery, for your courage, right from being a kid, for being so in tuned with who you are, an embracement of who you are without any apology, for your vision for the future. And as I said, we need more people like you. And there is hope for our future with consciously driven people like yourself out there. So please keep up that revolution. Keep up the voice. Because it must raise the vibration of everybody, and we're counting on you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So, folks, you know, let's look at all the wonderful work that, like, Bernie has done, and like our millennials are doing, and let's get behind them, because they are our future. They see things differently. Really, they're not buying into the crap of the past. They want accountability. And they want to just see things that are solution-based by unity and community and collaboration. And if we all step out of our own little boxes and our own little way and come together, we really can make this world a very happy place. So thank you to Eduardo and to all of you. Step up, be accountable in your own life so you can be accountable in the life of others. Bye for now.